Well, here we are again. I'm very grateful to be joined by Adam Rossgrove for a special episode of our Getting to Know podcast. Ad, thanks for joining us. Obviously, you're not with us in the Cymru Premier anymore, but you've moved on to bigger things. But it's always great to be able to catch up and see how people are getting on. How's things going over there? Everything all right?
Yeah, it's good. I think just at this point in the season, that's disappointing to not be playing. But apart from that, yes, it's all been good, thank you.
Oh, very good, very good. So the point of this is to help people get to know you a bit better, I guess, and you know a bit more about your football career and your journey through football and why football's so special to you. So I guess we go back to the beginning, really. I mean, you had a bit of a spell with Swansea City, I think, as a youngster. But before that, do you remember your first memory of football? Like, what was your first exposure to the game?
Gosh. I remember, well, I started playing, I think, when I was about five, just playing for Lanthwaite. I think I was too young to actually play in games, but they allowed me to train. So, growing up, I sort of played an age group above. So they're probably my first memories of, you know, just playing sort of mini park football. It was enjoyable.
And at what point do you, when you start playing, at what point does it, obviously, it's always fun, but at what point do you think, you know what, actually, I'm quite good at this?
I think probably not until we sort of got into 11-a-side football, really. When the pitches are obviously bigger, there's more exposure. You can probably express yourself more on a ball. You know, the older you get, I think the better understanding you have of the game. So it's easy. I was lucky I played in a team with some really decent players. At the time, I was playing central midfield, sort of, and I was surrounded by good players. So I think at times they probably made me look better. But no, I think for me that was really important. To start playing that 11-a-side football, and I think that's probably when I started to realise, do you know what, I'm all right at this.
And at what point did the sort of Swansea City opportunity come about, and how did that materialise?
So I started playing for Swansea Development for a couple of years, and then we'd always sort of play against the academy sort of once a year, as a little sort of trial, but just for a bit of a game as well. So when I was 15, I think it was, they signed me. I think it was under 15s. So they signed me on for the year. Obviously, great year. Went to some, different places, played against some decent teams. But unfortunately, at the end of that year, it wasn't to be. So I think at that age, it can be difficult. You know, you've just got to sort of take it on the chin. I think it's quite brutal for people between sort of ages 15, 16, up to the age of probably 18. I think a lot of boys think if they don't get that professional contract or don't get that scholar, then a professional contract around those ages, then their professional days are probably gone. And I was probably one of those people that started to think that. And that's probably, well, that's most certainly why I ended up at Cardiff Met.
In terms of, obviously, you're an athletic guy anyway, but was football the only thing you were sort of interested in? I mean, I've heard you were quite a sprinter in your younger days as well. Well, you still are, but you were quite a good sprinter as a junior.
Yeah, I think it's important when you grow up to do as much sport as possible and all sports. Played a lot of rugby in school, a lot of cricket in school, and you sort of get thrown into doing the cross country and stuff like that. So, I think that all helps as well. But, it's an enjoyable thing to do, I find. Sport in general, I like to go off and play, different sports when I can and if I can. A bit more difficult now. I think for any younger person, I think a lot of people think it gets to a point when you need to choose one or the other. For me, I played everything up until university, really, so my advice is just keep doing that.
And you mentioned university there. Obviously, Cardiff Met was a big part of your career so far. I mean, how did that sort of come about for you? Was that a conscious decision academically, or was it to do with the football, or was it a bit of both?
Probably a bit of both. Obviously, I was aware of Cardiff Met. I played for Lanthwaite the year before I joined Cardiff Met. I think that year, Cardiff Met won the league and won it comfortably. So when I was looking at universities, obviously I wanted to do something within sport. Obviously, Cardiff Met, for for sports is a great place to be anyway. So sort of that, and then thinking about football, it was certainly part and parcel of why I wanted to go there as well. So yeah, it was definitely partly why. Obviously, back then when I joined, we were in Division Two, and I think, you know, back then, if you had said you're going to turn into a professional and play in League One by the time you finish studying, I probably would have laughed. But yeah, I think, you know, even Cardiff Met as a whole, I think a lot of people used to write us off. I think even at times people still do now, which I think is unfortunate, because as a team and as what Swanee's built there, I think without him and his vision, I certainly wouldn't be where I am today, you know, amongst having some other very good coaches there. But it certainly is his vision that has helped the club to get where it is now. And I think, you know, I think he would even say himself, and I'm sure if you speak to any other Cardiff Met player, so back when I joined, the Welsh Premier League was sort of one of those pipeline dreams that you'd have. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, we're here. And then it was like, well, can we get into Europe? Which obviously was achieved as well. So I think for the club as a whole now, you know, they're in a really good place.
You touched on a few different things there, but Swanee's the one I'm going to pick up first. We hear a lot from players and, you know, and fans and coaches and stuff like that, just about how good he is and how influential he is. But you mentioned that he was particularly influential for you. I mean, in what way was he? Did he have that effect, do you think?
Well, I think initially I sort of, when I joined, I was a midfielder, so I had to be coached to play up front. I can't remember how it came about. I think we had a few injuries, and all of a sudden it was a bit like, oh, Adam, can you play up front? And I was like, well, yeah, I have when I was younger, so I'll give it a go. And it sort of just materialised from there, really. So I think obviously he invested a lot of time in me, into coaching me how to become a striker. You know, I could always score, that wasn't a problem, but you know, there's a lot of different aspects to it which I probably hadn't thought about then. So it was really trying to learn the skills required, and obviously coming from somebody that's played at the top level, I think you really have to listen. I think also his standards are so high that, you know, as soon as you drop 0.5%, he gets onto you, which for player development is great. You know, some people take it in a negative way. You know, there's been many players that have been at the club and not come back. But I think for the boys that, you know, stuck around, and you look at that team now, there's boys that have probably, Elliot and Charlie might be there almost 10 years probably now, which is a long time, especially for, you know, what's always classed as a university side. You know, there's a lot of boys that are still there, and it's, I think it's credit to Swanee in terms of pushing them and giving them something to want to stay for as well.
I mean, you mentioned obviously going to university and you know, the wanting to balance the football side of it as well. But if you're picking somewhere to develop as a footballer and play and go to university, there wasn't many better places for you to go than to be coached by a former pro, was there really?
Yeah, exactly. And I think now, I think boys would be silly not to snap the opportunity up to go there, especially, you know, you see a lot of boys that, like I said earlier, get released around 16 to 18, you know, especially at 18 when you're on the verge of getting that professional contract and you don't, you really need to sort of reevaluate what you're going to do moving forwards, because I think football is an easy dream to chase. And I think it gets to a point where you've got to take it on the chin and think, actually, I need to start, you know, planning my career now. Whereas I'm playing with boys now that have been a pro from 18, they've been lucky enough, and some of them coming to the end of their career and they're starting to have those thoughts now, but you know, they've already had their career. So I think it certainly gets to a point where, you know, if you decide to go to university, then I think, and you still have football in mind, and somewhere like Cardiff Met, you know, is a brilliant place to be. You know, Welsh Prem, that's a good exposure straight away. And then you've got working with, you know, ex-professionals, and then obviously getting the chance to play in Europe, which puts you in the spotlight again if you have those ambitions. And I think obviously, and then getting picked up by a professional team, to draw in good talent to then sort of, you know, get it rolling, if you like, of boys coming in for a few years, you know, that have been on the verge of that professional contract, you know, doing well, getting a chance to play at a good level, hopefully win and then move on if they get the opportunity to.
And do you think that, you know, you'll see universities and stuff and players even maybe sort of looking to follow the sort of avenue that you've followed now and that is being made available in places like Cardiff and Swansea and other places like that?
Yeah, for me, I think it's a great route. I think, like I spoke about earlier, a lot of boys are getting released at 18. And if they don't know what to do, I think universities a great thing to go to regardless anyway. So I think even if you look at boys that get those pro contracts at 18, a lot of them are getting loaned out because they haven't had enough men's football games. So I think going to university gives you two things. It gets you your education first and foremost, but then it also gives you exposure to playing sort of 100, 150 men's football games over the couple of years you might be there. So I think it's a great thing to go and do because it gives you that as well, plus it gives you your education, and if football doesn't work out, you've got something to fall back on, so to speak. So you know, for me, having been through that pathway, I think it's certainly something that a lot of universities could potentially start looking at.
And in terms of your time at Cardiff Met, I mean, there's a lot of highlights, but what are the memories that stand out for you?
To be fair, there's quite a lot. I think obviously winning the MG Cup has got to be up there. Qualifying for Europe's got to be up there. But also the twice we probably didn't qualify for Europe's is up there in some of those memories. Just because, you know, it makes you realise you've got to work so hard to get something and to lose out on it ever so slightly, not just once but twice. I think it's a memory that sticks with you, just because for me now it makes me think that to be a better player, to avoid those lows, you've got to work even harder to, you know, to try and then gain those highs like we did against Ballor and finally achieve, you know, European qualification.
And obviously you mentioned there that there was two finals that you didn't quite manage to come out on top of. When it comes to the third one, are you thinking, we've got to do it now, surely? Or because you've done it twice and not quite got there, is there less pressure? Or how do you approach that?
I think you can see it in many different ways. You know, I think not once did we ever go into a final not thinking we could win it. So I think, you know, going into that Ballor one, I think everyone believed, right, you know, sort of third time lucky, this is definitely going to be the one to go on to win. And, you know, dare I say it, we almost threw it away in extra time. I think Ballor hit the crossbar, hit the post. Somehow that ball just didn't want to go in the back of our net. And I think when it's like that and then it goes to penalties, you sort of think, I think this is going to be it, you know. And thankfully it was.
And would you, you know, with it all said and done now, would you have rather have won the first final, or are you happy that it went the way it did and you sort of got the third one and got it that way?
I think from a personal perspective, probably, yeah, I'd have rather won, got into Europe on the first or second occasion. But I don't know, there was something special about that third occasion. I think more so because we did it from seventh as well. So we didn't even finish top six. You know, we missed out on the top six. And then to have to battle to get seventh. Mm. And then to come through it that way, which I don't think could be done for a long, long time. I think that in itself just showed how good a side we actually were and how I don't think our league position ever really represented how good we can be as a team. I think across the managers, they'll always say, oh, on their day, Cardiff Met the best team or one of the best teams in the league. You know, you think, I think even look at the results this year, I think beat Connors Quay away maybe, always beat TNS, you know, beating all those top six sides. And then you look at that league position and you think, how are we not up there? So, I think, let's go back to that third occasion, I think really showed how we were a great team and still are. You know, the squad is still a good side.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting. I mean, I'm a football romantic in a way, so I loved the fact that you did it a third time, because I was just thinking, they've got to do it this time. And then obviously you did everything but do it easy, really. You know, I think it came down to the last penalty, obviously. And then you've got over the line. But that emotion afterwards was pretty incredible. I think Will Fuller was crying for about an hour afterwards, wasn't he? And, you know, everyone was just in bits. So, you know, that when I ask, you know, which one would you have preferred? Obviously, you prefer to win all three. But to do the third one the way you did and to have that sort of euphoria afterwards, it must have been really nice.
Yeah, I think, like you say, because we've had that heartbreak for 2 years, you know, watching two other sides, you know, lift that trophy and go and play in Europe. I think every, you know, the past two summers, we've all been sat there watching the draw thinking, you know, that could have been us. And thankfully, the last time it was a case of, right, that is us, it is real. And, you know, the boys had a great European tour, and were actually, I think, really unfortunate to not get into the next round. But I also think that, you know, the heartbreak of the 2 years before, I think it gives the squad, you know, that bit more strength, a bit more experience as well this following years later, which I think was probably good to help put the squad in a position to, you know, potentially have won on aggregate. So, you know, I don't think, no one would change it for the world. And I think, you know, fingers crossed, depending on what happens the rest of this season, the boys can achieve it again.
Yeah. What does it say, though, about you guys and the team you had there, that, you know, you've achieved everything you've achieved, you've got to finals, you've won trophies, you've gone to Europe and all this. And, you know, if I asked any of you if you were happy with what you've done in those 3 years, I don't think any of you would say yes. You know, I think you'd all say that you think you could have done more. What does that say about you guys as a group, and what do you think you could have achieved?
I think it goes back to how Swanee manages the group and how ambitious he is and how it rubs off on everybody else. Like I said earlier, I think the Welsh Prem was almost something people would laugh at, thinking, you know, university side can't do that. And then it was, our university side will never get into Europe. So I think part of it is proving the doubters wrong. And part of it is just, it's just inherent in the group that it's very ambitious and everybody wants to do well. And I think, like you say, we always felt that we'd never achieve what we wanted to in the Welsh Cup. Never finished high enough in the league for what we felt we could do. So I think until that happens on a more consistent basis, the sort of, not so much the pressure, but the ambition's always going to be there. You know, we weren't happy just being a sort of what would always turn out as a mid-table team, because, let's say, on our day, we could be top three. But then, you know, you have a few off days and all of a sudden you go from being a contender for a automatic European spot to having to battle it out. So I think, yeah, Swanee is really the driving force of that ambition.
And I think, you know, it says a lot when you look at the squad you've got there. You know, you look at the last Wales C squad that you were in. There was five Cardiff Met players. You know, there's, I think Will was in this one, obviously, before he got called off as well, Will Evans. And I think you guys, you know, you'd probably argue that all 11 of you could have, or 11 of the starters could have been in the squad and so on. So what would you say about the quality of the team you had there as well?
I think, like you said, then it just goes to show that you look at the Wales C squad, and to have five players in that squad, I think it's a tough thing to do in itself. Then, like you say, I think you look at the quality of that, of the Cardiff Met team, and I think there's still a few players, even in my opinion, that got left out. I think they're a bit unlucky to be left out looking at the rest of the squad. But, you know, that's football and it's a matter of opinion, isn't it? So, I think the squad as a whole is very good, and it's, you know, it's getting more and more experienced as the sort of years go by, really. I think that's always been a big thing, is retaining players and not letting them sort of slip out of the system that they have in place. And Swansea's done a really good job of that.
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, when you joined Cardiff Met, you probably couldn't have comprehended the fact that you'd be professional by, well, 5 years later. So obviously you're sat there now and you are a professional player, but can you tell me a little bit more about how that came about and what your feelings were throughout that process, and given that it wasn't something you expected to happen?
I think it's a difficult thing to sort of know how exactly it came about. I think the year previous to my last season in Cardiff Met, I think I knew there'd be scouts watching, and even the year I got signed, I knew there were scouts watching from various clubs. But to me, somebody watching you, interest is great, but interest is only interest until somebody wants to meet you or somebody puts that contract in front of you and wants you to sign it. And I think even until you sign it, it's never a done deal anyway. So I was, you know, I was quite fortunate. I managed to, and Wimbledon were interested. I didn't know they were interested for a good while. I think it wasn't until the end of the season. Our assistant manager now, Nick Dawes, was at the Wales Sea game and he saw me play. So I think that's when I first sort of entered the minds of the Wimbledon staff. And again, that only came down to from playing in the Welsh Prem and then from obviously Joni choosing me and getting the opportunity to play in that Wales Sea game. So, you know, for me, the steps before becoming a professional, if they weren't in place, obviously it never would have happened. And then, yeah, I was lucky enough to, I think Wally Downs wanted to meet me, wanted to have a chat. So I went down to London, had a chat with him. You know, it was a positive chat, obviously. I think by the time I got home, he'd sent a message saying, "No, I'm really interested. I'd like to sign you." And then it wasn't until a few weeks later, I think I was on holiday, then a contract came through. And then, you know, that's when it started to feel a bit more real. I think, well, actually, now they're offering me something. I think I came off holiday, day later went and signed, and then I think 3 days later we started pre-season. So from the initial interest to actually signing, it was quite a lengthy period, but from signing to actually starting the pre-season training was very, very quick.
And what's going through your head in the midst of all that? Because like you said, you know, it wasn't something that you ever joined Cardiff Met sort of expecting would happen at the end of it. So, you know, are you telling the boys? Are you talking to Christian? Are you sort of keeping it to yourself? How are you dealing with it?
I think when you know scouts are watching you, and Swanee would tell me every so often, he said, "Oh, so-and-so are coming to watch you today," and you sort of go, "Okay, great." But for me, I think I probably played better when I didn't know people were there, because you obviously don't know they're there. So there's not that added pressure thinking, if I don't play really well, if I don't score a couple of goals, they're going to think they've wasted their time. And granted, not everyone's looking for you to score. It's, you know, everything else you do and that wider part of your game as well. So for me, I would keep it quiet. You know, I chat to Swanee, I chat to Jenks quite a lot as well about it. You know, two people that have been in and around the professional game and sort of know how it all works. So for me, I think, like I said, interest is great. And I think as soon as you start saying, "Oh, this team are looking after me," or looking at me rather, I think if it doesn't materialise, you start to look like a bit of an idiot within the group. And sort of at Cardiff Met, there was sort of, that just wouldn't happen. You couldn't, you know, to sort of try and make yourself stand out like that, it just wouldn't go down well with the boys. So it was something that is just never done or never had been done. And I think even now there's probably one or two boys that get interest, but, and will know about it. But I think, like I said, they just got to keep themselves to themselves and just work hard. I think as long as you know, it gives you something, you know, to work for as well, thinking, right, if people are looking, then if I can start to improve my game, then you never know what might happen. And I consider myself to be, you know, very lucky that it happened, especially at the age of 24. You don't think it's ever going to happen. It's something that kind of goes to the back of your mind. And you know, don't get me wrong, I love being at Cardiff, mate. I really enjoyed my football there. You know, I know it wouldn't change that for the world. And if Wimbledon didn't come along, I would probably still be there. So yeah, it's just, for me, it was just get my head down, work hard, and then just see what happened, really. I think it's out of your control.
How hard was it for you to not take part in Europe after everything you've done to help get the team there?
Yeah, it was a massive decision. It was a really big decision for me. Like I said, having not qualified twice before, and then, you know, the elation of qualifying, and then a few weeks later, that sort of realization of, you know, I've gone through all this hard work with everybody else to actually then not be able to take part in the competition, was a little bit gutting, you know, to be honest. But having said that, to sign your first professional contract at the age of 24, I wouldn't change it, you know. At Wimbledon, I'm really enjoying it. It's great, you know, to play in front of a decent crowd week in, week out, you know, to for your life to just be football and, you know, not have to worry about another job, you know, and things like that, and to, you know, just turn up, train every day, you know, be amongst a really good group of boys. I wouldn't change it. But yeah, of course, there's a small part of me that is disappointed to have not played in Europe. I think, you know, now that's a lot of the boys have got a one up on me, because that's what they've done, that's what they've achieved. And I'm very, you know, I'm pleased for them. I still talk to a lot of the boys, watch the games when they were going on. So yeah, obviously being a big part of the Cardiff Met side for many years, was a disappointment. But like I said, to sign that first professional contract is, you know, it's obviously up there, one of the best feelings I've had in football.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of your time at Wimbledon, how's it gone for you so far? I mean, I've been seeing comments on Twitter and stuff. You seem to have gone down really well there. Everyone seems to have enjoyed the things that you brought to the game when you were in Wales. You know, your energy, your commitment, and you know, your instincts up front and stuff like that. So how's it gone for you?
To be honest, it's been tough. Obviously, when I signed, we got straight into pre-season. That was all good. Start of the season came, you know, was on the bench. Obviously, you just got to be patient and bide your time. You don't expect to walk into a professional team straight away. Well, you don't expect to walk into one at all, but it was just a case of being patient, you know, learning, getting used to that level, because it is different. It is more difficult in some aspects of it. So you just have to be really patient with it. And then, you know, I was grateful and made my debut. Started to play a couple of games, you know, gradually getting more minutes. And then I got injured, which was tough. I was injured for about 2 months, came back, got re-injured, was out for another sort of 2 months again. So I lost a good 4 months of the season, which is your first season as professional. I knew it was going to be difficult. But I think when you add in that as well, just made it even more difficult for me to just get fit, because the physical side of it was so demanding that's one of the most difficult things I've found. It's more that being able to train at a high intensity and then being able to recover quickly. Whereas, you know, when you play part-time football, you've got that extra day or two in between training sessions or in between games to recover. Whereas now, you know, when Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it is relentless and it's great. But initially, it was really demanding, and it just took a while for my body to get used to having to recover a lot quicker than it did before. And then sort of come January, started to get fit again, and then I started to play. Before sort of the coronavirus happened, I was starting to get into the swing of it. I think I played a part of 6 to 7 games in a couple of months, you know, sort of just coming off the bench, having 5 minutes here, 10 minutes, or sort of 20 minutes. And then it was getting to the point where I was starting to get a good 25 minutes a game to try and show what I can do. So I felt like I was starting to make a positive impact on the team, which, you know, is difficult because coming from the Welsh Prem, you've got a lot to prove as well. You know, a lot of the boys you're playing with, some boys that have played in the Championship, boys that have been promoted from League One, you know, and played at some top clubs, all of a sudden, you know, you're playing with some really top players. And, you know, you've got to try and show to them that you deserve to be there. And without playing, it's actually quite difficult to do that. So, yeah, I felt like I was just starting to get into the swing of it all before the season got cancelled, which was unfortunate for me. But, you know, now it gives me a chance to get on top of my fitness, you know, catch up with a bit of fitness I might have been lacking. And then hopefully when football resumes at some point, you know, can go back into it, you know, a little bit fitter, hopefully a little bit stronger, and then give myself a chance of, you know, hopefully being able to start a game towards the end of the season, maybe.
Well, it sounds like it's gone really well from what we've been seeing anyway, and it's been great to see you do so well. You mentioned the Wales C there as well, as obviously where you were probably first seen by Wimbledon, to your knowledge anyway. Obviously, Connell had an experience there before he went on to Port Vale, and a number of other players who've gone into, you know, professional game off the back of playing in the Welsh Premier and obviously having the Wales C experience. So do you think that the league and the players that are within it are getting noticed more now, and why do you think that is, if so?
I think, you know, it's been noted over the last few seasons that the league itself was getting better. I think for everyone sort of gets the level that TNF performing at, you know, year in, year out was something that was always going to be needed to do for, you know, for somebody to, one, become a different champion, but two, the only way to do that is by raising the quality of all the other teams around them. I think, you know, look at this season, I think Connorsky are top now, I believe. And then there's more teams that are pushing TNS in, you know, in games as well. I think Cardiff Met either beat them or drew or 1-2 against them this year, which I think it took us 2 years to beat them. So I think as a whole that the league itself is improving. And I think when you choose that Wales C squad up against the England squad, I think it's a really good test to see where the league's at in comparison, to actually realise where the Welsh Prem is. And I think then last year to go and draw 2-2, I think it really showed that even within, you know, sort of 12-month period, that the players in the league have got much better, you know, to come up against some of the very good players that, and a lot of those England C boys have gone on and will still go on to become pros. The first game I played against Mitchell Pinnock. He's now a pro with me at Wimbledon. So I think it's a good thing. And I think sometimes a lot of the scouts at those games, being brutally honest, they will be going to look at some of those National League boys that are, you know, 20, 21, 22, that are good players. And all of a sudden, you're, you know, looking at the Welsh boys thinking, do you know what, I wasn't looking at him today, but, you know, that player surprised me. They played really well. So I think, you know, off the back of that game especially, it just exposes the league in a better light. And it also exposes the players, and it gives them the opportunity to potentially get signed somewhere else. And that doesn't necessarily have to be sort of professional level, but, you know, it could just be, you know, National League North or South, which is just one under the sort of professional level, if you like. So I think most of the Conference Premier are all full-time now. So, you know, even for somebody to move on to that level would still be a great achievement.
And, you know, don't take this question the wrong way, but because you know how big a fan I am of yourself and everything that you've done at Cardiff Met and everything like that. But how much of, you know, getting that opportunity that you've had and the Connell and all those people before you have had to go into the Football League from the Welsh Prem, how much of it is down to, you know, fortune as much as anything else, and being lucky enough to be seen at the right time by the right person and having that good game when you need it?
Massively. I think Nick Dawes now, he still at times reminds me of the goal I scored in that game, you know, pulling off the shoulder and, you know, being on the blind side of the defender, which is, that's what he was looking for. You know, he might not necessarily been looking for me, but I think that's one of the things that drew my attention, or drew his attention to me, sorry. You know, and then from there on in, must have come to watch me or got clips or whatever. You know, but that's certainly something that, you know, he was looking for. And I think a lot of the time, people are looking for a player to fit the way in which they want to play, you know. I fitted that of Wimbledon. And yeah, I think I was massively lucky. I'd be the first one to admit that. You know, especially as the way it happened, went up to meet Wally, and by the time I got home, he was really keen just from a conversation, but obviously had seen me play or seen my clips or whatever. So yeah, I completely agree. It is luck, but I think also, like I say, that's why I never used to like knowing when scouts are there. Because if you can play your natural game without that added pressure, then people might take more notice because you're not trying too hard at times. So yeah, for me, I count myself as being, you know, very lucky in each day. You know, you think, Christ, I'm going to kick the ball around with some mates now for a couple of hours and then go home. You know, it's an amazing thing to be involved with. And I know there's many boys that would, you know, be massively grateful for that, to have the opportunity as well.
And obviously it's a bit weird for you, I guess, because you've achieved something that you wanted to achieve many years ago and maybe thought that you weren't going to do it. You've obviously had that sense of achievement, and rightly so, but there's still a lot more that you want to achieve, I'm guessing. So what's next for you now?
For me, the first one is just to get that first goal under my belt. I've come close on a couple of occasions. And I think, you know, the boys and the management and the staff want that as much as I do. You know, so for me, that's the first thing that I need to really try and achieve, you know, and that's only going to happen by trying to improve my overall game, you know, and just, you know, each day you go into training, just trying to get better and better. So, yeah, I think, you know, initially that, and then, you know, can I get in that starting team, and then can I be consistent with it then? I think, you know, that's the key to football, and I think the key to progressing is just being more consistent. And like I said before, it took a while to get used to the level, and I felt like I was starting to get there. So now it's, can I just be more consistent when I'm on the pitch? I think as soon as that starts to happen, then I'll hope, you know, fingers crossed, more goals, etc., and more time on the pitch. And then you never know what might happen then. But, you know, I'm really happy where I am. And first and foremost, just need to focus on Wimbledon. And can I just keep improving myself to hopefully improve the team?
Absolutely. Well, look, I'm really grateful to you for finding the time to have a chat. It's been really good to catch up after not seeing you for 9 months. It's been odd not to see you on the 5-on form or whatever it is that, you know, there's normally some highlights on Scorio of you. So, yeah, but it's been good to catch up. And like I said, I'm really grateful to you for finding the time. And I just wish you all the best for, well, this period now, obviously, where we're not really sure what's going on. And then, obviously, every success when you get back on the pitch. And I'm sure that first goal's just round the corner for you.
So, cheers, mate.
No, thank you, mate. Thank you.